So welcome to a very special edition of Women's Soccer Zone. Unfortunately, my usual co-host, JJ Duke, has had to take a sidestep for this episode because I have a very special guest who is joining me. There is something about interviewing American players in restaurants. I interviewed Megan Rapinoe in a restaurant in Lyon. Today, I have Heather O'Reilly in a restaurant in London. Heyo, how are you?
I'm awesome. Very happy to be here on this podcast.
We're happy to have you. Obviously, we've met up a few times since you've been here. One of the first things that you said to me when we first met was, Kieran, I apologize, I'm a little late. It doesn't happen very often. How late are we meeting on this occasion?
Hour and a half late.
I'm not going to hold it against you because, look, it's a pleasure to have you. The purpose of having you on this show is to maybe give a little bit of insight into followers of the show and people on Twitter as to how you're settling in to life in England and life in London. And of course, I should say welcome to London and welcome to the United Kingdom. London life, how's it treating you in the early days?
I've been loving it. Everything from the football to stuff off the field has been really smooth. Certainly, there's some things to get used to. I've had some rough early goings with driving on the left side of the road.
I wasn't going to mention that, but seeing as you voluntarily mentioned it, fair play to you. I mean, you've as you say, driving on the left side of the road, very different. The weather, you're experiencing your first storm here. We've got Storm Doris here today, which has messed up your travel plans and everything else. But what's kind of the main differences that you've kind of noticed in the early days of life in England compared to what you're more used to back at home in the United States?
I mean, there's certainly some small nuances in football and outside that, you know, small differences of the culture. I think first and foremost, I've noticed, at least where I'm living, things sort of close up earlier than in the U.S. I feel like there's just a little bit of more emphasis on being home, having your meal together at a decent hour. And in the U.S., it's always go, go, go. And here it's a little bit slower, a little bit more time for family, and I appreciate that. I think that it's cool that, you know, that you're home and you're having your Sunday roasts and you're watching football together, and it's just a little bit of a I don't want to say slower pace, but I think more emphasis on work-life balance that I've sort of noticed here that I really dig.
And you've had an opportunity to experience some games over here as well. You've been to the Emirates to watch Arsenal, and I think you're up at the King Power Stadium to watch the champions Leicester against Man United. Is that one of the bonuses of being over here?
Absolutely. I love, obviously, being able to see as many games as I can. And coming over here, that was one of my goals, is to just completely immerse myself in the culture here. And a big part of the culture here is the football culture. And I told Arsenal ladies early on, you know, any men's games I want to be able to get to. If there's any academy training sessions that I can watch, I would love to be part of that. So certainly just kind of taking it all in and exposing myself to as much as I can has been really great. Emirates is a world-class stadium. I've loved watching the guys, see them a little bit around the training ground, which is really cool. I had one interaction with Arsene Wenger, which was, really neat for me. We were actually at the salad bar line at the lunch, cafeteria at London Colney. Unfortunately, embarrassingly, I had a battle with my washing machine the day before, so my kit was so wrinkly, and the whole time I was talking to Arsene Wenger, I was just thinking about how wrinkled my jersey was and how he probably notices. He didn't say anything about it, but needless to say, I have been ironing my training gear ever since, which is a new development in my life. I've never ironed my football uniform before, but I will now because I want to look my best in case I see Arsene again.
So the question will probably be on everyone's mind is, what does Arsene Wenger have on his plate when he goes to the salad bar?
I didn't check out his lunch selection, but it was an honor to see him and to speak with him.
You mentioned there kind of immersing yourself in the culture and really wanting to be a part of things, as well as obviously playing with the ladies team. We'll talk about some of the games that you've had already. You've been involved with the Arsenal Foundation as well. How important is it for you to kind of support some of the off-field activities that Arsenal are doing in the community as well?
Well, I think Arsenal's brand, as everybody knows, is one of the most recognizable football brands in the world. And I want to be part of that. I want to be part of anything that Arsenal is doing. They obviously have a big responsibility and activity in the community with their Arsenal Foundation. Certainly that's something that I've always put a lot of emphasis on. I think that as a footballer and in any sport, you have a an awesome opportunity. I wouldn't say it's a responsibility. I would say it's an opportunity to impact people. And Arsenal has done that for over 100 years. And, you know, I think that I just want to be part of that and learn about their history as much as I can and be part of a little bit of their future.
I met your teammate Gemma Rose at the FA Cup draw earlier in the week, and she said, "I've never trained with anyone like Heather O'Reilly before." What's given that impression to players already? Have they seen the intense Heyo face that has been familiar around the world?
I don't know. I can't speak for Gemma. I hope that's a good thing that she said that. I don't know. I think that I pride myself on bringing a good training mentality. I think I would hope that former teammates and coaches would agree that I bring a lot of energy every day. I try to bring what I'm great at every day, which is my work ethic and my fitness and my energy and my positivity and resilience and grit and things like that have just kind of always been part of my game, and I think that that's what Gemma's referring to. I don't really know what else she could be referring to, but I think that I'm very competitive on the field. I think that there's sort of two sides to me. One side that's sort of very easygoing and jokes and pranks people and does stuff like that, and there's a side to me that's fiercely competitive, and people know after I lose a game that they probably shouldn't talk to me for a few minutes. And I'm super competitive. I always know the score of every game that we're playing, even if the score is not being kept. And I think that's an important element to bring to the training field. So I've tried to bring that to Arsenal ladies.
It was definitely a positive comment when she said it. I can assure you, it was very, very positive. You mentioned that kind of light-hearted, jokey side. I think anyone that follows some of the Arsenal players on Instagram will have seen an interesting video that Alex Scott put up from your pre-season tour in Spain. I saw that a few players had to do initiations as part of their, embedding themselves into the squad. I saw some interesting dance moves from you, Heyo. Do you want to explain what that was for people who didn't see it?
Some things just can't be explained.
We'll leave it there, shall we? For those that didn't see it, Heather O'Reilly produced some very interesting dance moves to Jessie J. Unfortunately, because Instagram stories only last for 24 hours, it's probably disappeared now. So she's just brushed her brow as a kind of relief sign. But coming back to the serious stuff, you obviously had the opportunity to get to know your teammates and embed yourself into the squad for the games against Wolfsburg and against Bayern Munich. You and I bumped into each other very briefly this past Sunday. You were involved in Kelly Smith's celebration match. You were involved with the Arsenal ladies' first team coming up against a team of Kelly Smith All-Stars, players past and present. It kind of, watching it from the sideline, there were kind of competitive elements to it, but there was also the fun side of it as well. Talk about what it was like to be involved in that game, but also I know you spoke very highly of Kelly Smith beforehand and afterwards as well. To be involved in that match, what did it mean to you to kind of be on the field for something that celebrated her career?
Yeah, the match itself was great. They assembled a really fun all-star team for us to play against. And of course, for our Arsenal ladies, we wanted to put on a show as well. We wanted to put together some good football, score some goals for the fans. And of course, there's no better way to respect Kelly and what she's meant to the club than to play your best and put your best product out there while having a little fun with it as well. I mean, Kelly Smith is an absolute legend in the game, and our careers have intertwined in a very interesting way. When I was a young player growing up in New Jersey, Kelly Smith was sort of playing in that area as well because she went to university at Seton Hall, which is in New Jersey. So I had heard of this player that, you know, she was like a legend of sorts. She scored 2 goals a game. She's from England, just absolutely tearing up the university scene in America. And then I got to meet Kelly and be her teammate with a W League team in New Jersey early on when I was still a teenager. So, you know, fast forward 14 years or so till last week when we had her, you know, testimonial match. And it was just so wonderful to be part of and just to see the impact that she's had, not only on those around her, but maybe people that haven't even met her, because she led the charge here in England. She believed in herself and her qualities early on. I know she played with boys very early on, and she sort of transformed the landscape here that women can play. They can play attractive football. They can play exciting football. And, you know, she's led Arsenal and England for many years. And I know that she means a lot to the club, and the club means a lot to her. And I'm just really grateful that I was able to be part of the game and that Kelly's going to be, you know, very much around and part of the coaching staff, not only for the first team but the developmental team. Because I consider Kelly not only a friend but certainly, you know, a mentor and somebody that I look up to a lot. So I'm certainly going to be picking her brain and continuing to conveniently intertwine my career where her career is. So all the best to Kelly. She deserves you know, nothing but that. And I think that Arsenal did a wonderful job honoring her at her game last week, and I was happy to be there.
Fun games to watch. Sounds like a fun game to be involved in. You mentioned that term intertwine, and I mentioned that I wanted to ask about some familiar faces that you're going to be coming up against. Obviously, you led the charge by coming over to Arsenal Ladies, and since then we've seen Crystal Dunn join Chelsea, and we've seen Carly Lloyd in the last week join Manchester City Women. I interviewed Carly this week for a piece that will be going up on the website in the next couple of days, and I asked her the question, why now? Why is it that American players are starting to take an interest again in Europe? It's not uncommon. We've seen players from the US come over to Europe. I wrote a piece for 442 and listed a whole load, and we left a load out as well because we couldn't fit them in. But we've seen yourself, Crystal, Carly, Alex Morgan has gone to Lyon as well. Why do you think it's now that we've seen people like yourself come over? It might be difficult to speak on behalf of others, but certainly speaking from your personal self, why now?
I think you hit the nail on the head with, I certainly can't speak for others. So from my own perspective, those that know me and follow my career know that I retired from international play last September. And at that time of my career, it was sort of a very much a time of reflection on what I've been able to do in my career. And I'm very proud of a lot of the things that I've done and teams that I've been part of and championships that I've won. But there was certainly, you know, one glaring thing off my resume that for the last couple years I always thought would be really cool, and that's playing in Europe. So, you know, at that sort of juncture in my career, I sort of evaluated where do I think would be best for me to look into playing, where what style would suit me, what country would suit me, what language would suit me, what culture would suit me, and not just myself, but my husband Dave, of course, is part of this equation as well. So, I guess, you know, when I was thinking about it, it was that I wanted to be in London. I had a relationship already with Pedro Losa from being familiar with him when he was a coach in the U.S., and it sort of was just the right fit, I think. for them, it was the right fit for me to be over and join the team at this time. And for me, it was certainly the right fit for a new adventure in my life and in my career. And of course, you know, you kind of as a player keep an eye on what's going on across the world and, you know, what you hear from other leagues, what you hear from other national teams. And you know, of course, the English national team has just been getting better and better. You know, we've seen it as we faced them in recent years. The national team is improving, and a big reason behind that is the domestic league is improving and the investment that the FA has put into the league here and the players here. So I think that, you know, as a player, you kind of always keep tabs on this kind of, on these kinds of things. And for me, it was the right move at this time. And I was so thrilled to hear about Crystal wanting to play in Chelsea. I thought that that would be a really cool storyline, I guess, especially for American fans to see Crystal and I face off each other at two rival clubs like Chelsea and Arsenal. And then, you know, it was a really pleasant surprise to see Carly come over to Man City. So I think, you know, I don't know if it was a coincidence or just the stars aligning that all three of us are here at the same time this year. I know for national team players, this is certainly the time to do it. This is certainly the year in the cycle to go overseas. I think that as you get closer to Olympics and World Cups, it's perhaps more crucial for U.S. national team players to be closer to home, but I think that this is a good time for national team players to try this, and certainly for myself that didn't have sort of that restriction anymore, I guess you can say. For me, it was the perfect fit, and I'm just so thrilled to be here.
You agreed to take some questions from some of our followers on Twitter. We'll get to those shortly, but you've kind of touched on Crystal down there. We actually had a question come in from Cole Meachin, who actually asked the question, are your knees knocking at the thought of facing Crystal Dunn with the mighty Chelsea Ladies Football Club?
I would not say my knees are knocking. I'm very confident in my squad, and I think it's going to be a really great game. I know that Chelsea Ladies and Arsenal Ladies have had a great rivalry through the years, and I'm sure it's going to be no different this spring series, and perhaps we'll see each other in the FA Cup. But I know I'm excited to have my first game officially on the schedule, which is Tottenham on March 19th. So I'm really excited about that, and that'll be my first official game in Arsenal kit. So thrilled about that. And then, yeah, I'll be counting the days to face off against Carly and Crystal, because I think those will be some pretty epic matches, and I hope everybody at home is excited about those.
I was going to ask you about the FA Cup draw. As I mentioned earlier, I was there for that. Tottenham Hotspur Ladies play in a couple of divisions below you, but obviously North London derby adds a little bit of spice. But I know that when we first met, you said FA Cup was a real draw for you, and I guess that opportunity to revisit Wembley, where the US women's national team won the Olympics in 2012, that must be a huge motivation.
It is. I think that, especially in this near term, the FA Cup is, you know, a large focus of these next couple of months and what we're training for every single day. The FA Cup is a unique tournament in that, you know, any team in England can be part of it. There's some wonderful, as we would say in the U.S., Cinderella stories, which is, you know, teams that are unexpected to be competing against powerhouses, as we saw recently with Arsenal men playing against Sutton United. I mean, some stories like that are just amazing, and what people light up about in sports. So, yeah, one game at a time, but if we can get back to where we were last year at Wembley and try to regain our title, I mean, that's what it's all about, and that's, you know, a big focus of mine.
Well, look, I'll be honest. I'm in a very fortunate position where I get to probably speak to you on a semi-regular occasion. There are fans and individuals who were kind enough to send in some questions on Twitter, and I should probably try and get through as many of those as I can, because we put it out there, we had an immense response, and we're really sorry to those that maybe we won't get to, but we'll get through as many as we can in the time that we have left. So Rachel Lee asked the question, can you start Guess the Roomie again? Now, I had to ask you what this was, because I'd never heard of it, and then when you explained it to me, I think I recall seeing it. So for those that don't know what it is, what is Guess the Roomie, and will you be introducing it, Arsenal ladies?
Well, Guess My Roomie is a game that I started playing on the national team, I don't know, maybe a few years ago. Maybe the fans can tell me when my first game of Guess My Roomie was played. But usually with the U.S. team, we rotate roommates. So, you know, even as a player, sometimes you show up at the hotel, you check in, you don't know who your roommate is. Sometimes you're very, very excited. Sometimes you're just very excited to find out who your roommate is. But I just did a little game where I would take pictures of some of my roommate's stuff, or maybe, you know, them with something covering them or something like that, and let the fans guess who my roommate is. So I will certainly do that. My roommate here, I think that people know, is Jody Taylor when I am home. But I'm not sure how Arsenal Ladies does the away rooming list. So hopefully we'll have some games of Guess My Roommate in the future.
Awesome. We look forward to that. So moving on. At Klingenho asked the question, what has been the best thing since going to Arsenal?
That's a tough question. I think, honestly, I said this before, but putting on my training kit for the first time, like, I was giddy like I was a kid again. Just, like, the pride that I had wearing that crest and being part of a club that is just so historic and has such a incredibly rich tradition was really just a privilege. So I think just fully just kind of being part of Arsenal, being at the training ground every day, that's absolutely world class, and just kind of being part of that tradition.
Question I have before I move on to the next one, you're known for being a bit of a joker. Who are the jokers in the Arsenal ladies team, or who are the jokers that you've kind of cottoned on to very quickly as being people that you're going to have to watch out for?
Well, I would definitely say that the craziest player is Emma Mitchell. She is hilarious and a bit insane in the best of ways. The other day she lost a bet and put her head into an ice tub, which I've never seen before. And she's awesome. So she's definitely somebody that's like up for anything. But I try to just kind of keep it loose. Like the other day we have our weight room binders, and for some reason I just felt like it was a good idea to just put the wrong workouts in other people's binders and just confuse everybody. Some people thought it was funny, some were just kind of like annoyed and were wondering why they had the wrong workout. But anyways, just things like that, just kind of keep it loose. And you know, what we do is obviously very serious, and we take it seriously, and I want to compete and I want to win, but at the end of the day, this is what we love, and you know, I think this is my passion, and it's important to laugh and smile along the way as well.
So back to fan questions. US women's national team Tobes17 asked the question, why number 17 at Arsenal ladies? Obviously you were known for the US women's national team for wearing number 9. We know that Dan Carter has that number for Arsenal. Why number 17?
Well, I wish there was a better story to this, but of course number 9 was already occupied by Dan Carter. Pedro Losa asked me what jersey that I would want to wear, and he gave me a bunch of choices. And to me, 17 just felt right. It was like one of those things that like this number kept popping out at me. And I don't know if it was my affinity for Tobin Heath, because I love Tobin and we've been friends for a very long time. And ironically, Tobin is a big Arsenal fan. So it just kind of struck me as right to wear 17 at Arsenal. To me, also, it was just kind of like, it struck me as sort of a new adventure. It was 2017. I, you know, closed out my international career last year. Now I have this new team, this new country, this new league ahead of me, and just sort of fell right to where 17. And on the men's side, it's Alex Iwobi. So we've already had some Twitter banter going because he's known as Big 17, Big 17. So, you know, I always support Alex now, and obviously keep an eye out for him at all his games. And he's a winger just like me, so it makes sense.
So there's obviously a few light-hearted ones thrown in here as well. We've got at Bitty Official, who asked the question, what is your go-to ice cream flavor?
I really like Ben & Jerry's. Usually like something with cookie dough, something with chocolate and then peanut butter usually is the way to my heart.
Something bad, Heyo. Something that's got bad in it, written all over it. Okay. Basil is a gooner. Wrote, what are the main differences between life in England and the USA as a soccer player, or as a footballer, as we'd say?
I guess it's hard to say. I think that, well, one thing that I've noticed over here in terms of a nuance on the field is everybody is very, very technical. You know, every single player on the team, you can tell, has just been around the game their whole life and is very technically sound. So that's one thing that I've sort of recognized, even with some of the younger players that are on the team, is that everybody's very comfortable with the ball at their feet. And I think that it just sort of relates to, you know, football just being really embedded in the culture and players just watching it from a very young age and just being exposed to it every single day.
A good answer. Super_Merc14 asked the question, what do you miss the most from the USA, i.e. food, item, or place?
Well, anybody that knows me knows that I love the University of North Carolina. I'm like a Tar Heel freak. That's where I went to college. That's where I met my husband. That's where I live right now. That's who I cheer for in every sporting event. So I miss Chapel Hill. I miss my home. I miss my husband. I miss some of the, you know, the fields that I train on there in Chapel Hill. I miss some of the restaurants that I go to, all that kind of stuff. So that's certainly my home. I miss my parents. And I miss the sun.
Yeah, good luck with the sun over here, Hayo, is all I can say. But just so that there is a nice kind of ending to that answer, your husband is going to be joining you soon over here, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He's going to be able to come over quite a bit, and hopefully he'll be at a lot of Arsenal games front row with my jersey on.
So keep an eye out for Mr. Heather O'Reilly, and make sure if you do see him with Hayo's jersey on that you look after him and buy him a drink. So next question, Andrew Cordell asked the question, this is probably just a yes or no answer. Have you challenged Theo Walcott to a foot race yet? And I'll add a little bit, who would win?
Theo would smoke me in a race. I like Theo a lot as a player. I was really thrilled to see him score his 100th goal with Arsenal just a couple of days ago. I haven't been able to meet Theo yet, but hopefully if we run into each other at the training ground at London Colney, I could perhaps suggest a race in the parking lot.
Lovely. Let's get that one going. I think we can combine the next two questions. At Todders14 asked, what's your favourite part about London so far? And then Sarah, who has the handle BrainFreeze1728, asked the question, what's your favourite non-soccer thing that you've done or seen in England so far? So favourite part of London, and what's your best non-soccer thing that you've done so far?
One of my favorite things about London so far is, I guess, just sort of exploring all the different neighborhoods that London has to offer. Every time that we have a day off and I'm able to take a little bit of time to explore, I try to go to a new part of town. Just last week, I was in Camden Town, which is obviously a lot different than where we're doing this interview right now, which is in Notting Hill. So I feel like I'm just, you know, trying to get my bearings and trying to explore. But I would say that that's one of my favorite things about London, is that it certainly has something for everyone. And all the different pockets of town and different neighborhoods are all distinctly different. And I really dig that. And there's, you know, something to do all the time. And what's the saying? If you get bored with London, you're bored with life or something like that. So I think that there's certainly enough to keep me stimulated here, certainly. And yeah, another thing is just constant football on all the time. I mean, it's on every channel, it's on every newspaper cover. They just completely love the game here and you know, indulge in the sport. So I like that a lot. And you know, unfortunately in the US it's not always like that. There's a lot of competition for attention from sports fans, and sometimes soccer doesn't get, you know, on the front page of the newspaper as much as we would like. So here, I mean, it's everybody's passion, and for me it's certainly my passion, so it seems like it's nice in that way.
We talked about Guess My Roommate earlier on. Ali Fields asked the question, who has been your favorite U.S. women's national team roommate? I predict a diplomatic answer here.
I love all my roommates. No, but my favorite roommate is probably Ali Krieger. Ali Krieger and I have maybe roomed together the most, and we just know each other well. You know, it's like you just learn what works. And, you know, when you want to talk about soccer, when you certainly don't want to talk about soccer, when you, you know, you need each other, you need a shoulder to lean on kind of thing. Allie is a really good friend of mine. So I would say Allie. You know, years ago I was roommates a lot with Rachel Buehler. She was one of my very best friends on the national team. So it really is hard to say, because I'm very fortunate that not only were many of my U.S. teammates my colleagues or my coworkers, but they were also my very, very good friends. And we certainly had a lot of laughs and adventures together.
Good answer. I like it. Diplomatic at the start, but we did get it out of you in the end. Ali Krieger, of course, obviously has her own fresh start with the Orlando Pride. So at TXFNS asks, did you have to do the bleep test with Arsenal ladies? Obviously, well-known fitness test that a lot of clubs have to do. Did you have to do it? And if so, how did you get on?
I did not have to do fitness testing because I missed a few days of preseason due to some visa holdups. But once I got over here conveniently when the fitness testing was over. I think the team thought that was a little too convenient. But I've been told that we are going to have to do our fitness testing later this month, so we will see about that. So far I did not have to do the beep test or the bleep test, as people like to call it. But I will like to call out one of my teammates, because I think that I'm a pretty fit player, but Jordan Knobbs might be the fittest player that I've ever played with. She completely annihilates everybody and every sort of fitness test, including myself. So we'll have to see how my reign holds up with a teammate like Jordan Knobbs.
I got three more here. We're almost done. We talked about foods that you may have missed in the United States. Leanne Harrington has asked the question, have you got any favorite new foods that you've discovered over here? And you can say no if you like.
Oh, you know what? I think I'm impressed with the English food. You know, generally, the food in England isn't praised that much. But since I've been here, I've had a lot of really good meals. I went for a traditional Sunday roast last weekend, and that was very cool, very, very tasty. I think the breakfast is a little bit different and interesting. The avocado on toast is something that I've kind of gotten into my life, and I really like it. So, yeah, I would say that maybe avocado on toast is maybe the winner of new additions to my cuisine.
Excellent. I like a bit of avocado on toast myself. Polly Adler has asked, which three players on the U.S. women's national team would you take if you were stuck on an island?
Oh, gosh. There's really too many. I don't know. Too many for different reasons. Maybe Rachel Buehler, because she would provide entertainment, but also likely get us off the island because she's very bright. Maybe Abby, because she's strong and and also would provide very good entertainment. And, oh gosh, I don't know.
we can skip it. Two's good. Two out of three ain't bad. Two out of three ain't bad. We'll just say the rest of the squad altogether. So, last one. Well, actually, I say last one. I want to squeeze one in before that came from one of your former teammates, Yael Averbuch, who I spoke to while I was out in Los Angeles at the NSCAA convention. She asked the question, have you ever got through a full episode of Law and Order? Now, I'm assuming that there's a bit of an in-joke here, because I'm not really sure why she asked that. So maybe you can shed some light on that one.
Nothing too entertaining. Yeah, Elle and I were just roommates for 2 years in Kansas City. And, you know, when we were winding down sort of at night, I would always demand that we put on an episode of Law and Order, even if we were watching something else. And inevitably, every time I would fall asleep before the end. And then in the morning, she would have to tell me what happened. And, like, it just became a routine. And but, you know, I stuck to my guns every time that I wanted to watch it. And she said, why are you putting me through this? You know you're not going to finish it. And then 5 minutes later, I was sleeping. So that's all about that. So, no, Yael, I still have never actually finished an episode on my own.
Because you have a recent experience of falling asleep with big kind of television events, haven't you, Hayo? Because didn't you fall asleep within the first few minutes of the Super Bowl this year?
I had big plans to have a Super Bowl party at my flat with my new teammates. I didn't realize that the Super Bowl started at like midnight here in London, so that idea went down the tubes. But I did fall asleep literally in the first minute. I was watching it with Kim Little, who was staying on my couch, and we were watching on her laptop. She's a wonderful person, by the way. I've loved getting to know her. And yeah, I fell asleep in the first minute and then had to wake up and find out that it was maybe the most exciting Super Bowl of all time.
Sorry, I've dropped that one on you. Actually, do you know what? I haven't got it in front of me, but someone did ask the question, having come up against Kim Little for the last 3 years, how nice is it to actually be on the same team as her?
Wonderful question. That is actually one thing that I've been most excited about, is playing with Kim. Although Kim's a few years younger than me, I feel like I've learned a lot from her so far, both on the field and off. She's honestly maybe the most complete professional that I've ever played with, just in terms of her approach to the game, her mentality, the way she pushes herself physically and tactically to be the best that she can be. So I've absolutely loved playing with her, and I can't wait to compete now on her side, because going against her was a bit annoying at times.
Right, last one. I've left this one deliberately to the end because I think it's a nice question. Donna underscore Martin 937 asked the question, are you walking around England just thinking, we won the Olympics here and it was glorious?
I do have to admit that I do have really good memories from London 2012. I mean, winning gold at the Olympics is something that you certainly don't forget. So, yeah, this place certainly holds a special place in my heart. One of my absolute favorite memories of myself in my international career was our semifinal match against Canada at Old Trafford, that I was able to come off the bench and provide Alex Morgan with the game winner in the 123rd minute of play. And to me personally, that's one of my most cherished plays, my most cherished memories, and team wins, because you know, matches like that don't happen every day. That was one for the ages. And after that game, we just knew that destiny was for us and that we were going to win gold here in London.
Top stuff. Just to name check, it was Kirsten underscore MUFC who asked the question about Kim Little. I didn't want to leave her out. So I think that is enough. Hey, we've had you for quite a while. Real great insight. A great pleasure to kind of have you on the show. I know it's you're a very busy individual, and I really, really do appreciate you coming on for a second time. Obviously, we had you on when you announced your international retirement. I know you have a question for followers of the podcast and listeners of the podcast as well, don't you? I know that one of the things that you really want to do is kind of promote the league over here and be a bit of an ambassador. And I know that you're kind of interested to hear from people as to how they might want to receive information from you.
Yeah, I want to know what you guys want to know. I want to see, should I do a video blog? Should I do a written blog? Should I do more stuff on Instagram? Should I do Periscope? You guys tell me, what do you like? What do you like receiving information on? What content do you think is the best? Because I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to do what you guys want. So I want to grow this game. I want to help Arsenal ladies, grow their brand. And really, it's just about being an ambassador for the game. So you guys let me know and I will think about it.
We'll throw that up on Twitter as well, because actually I have a couple of programs from Kelly Smith's celebration game. And what I'll do is I'll get Heyo to sign them. We'll get you to throw your ideas over to us. And then the idea that maybe we like best, or we'll pick one at random, we'll give them a signed Heyo program from Kelly Smith's celebration game. Maybe that'll be a nice incentive for people to get in touch. But I think we'll wrap it up there. Heyo, been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me. Good luck with Arsenal ladies, enjoy it. It's, I'm sure, going to be fun, and we will speak to you very soon.
Thank you. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Thanks, guys. We'll catch up with you soon. And until then, take care of yourselves and bye bye.